How do you know if your tax dollars are being well spent or some unscrupulous elected official might have his hand in the cookie jar? Well, keeping tabs on those kinds of things and many others is the job of the Ohio Auditor of State. Just a few months ago, Keith Faber became our state's 33rd auditor. Today, we're going to learn more about what the office does and visit about some important issues in state government in general. Auditor Keith Faber joins Farm Bureau's Adam Sharp on Town Hall, Ohio.
This is Town Hall, Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall, Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall, Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
Keith Faber is no stranger to anybody who pays attention to state government. He spent 17 years in the Ohio legislature. Last November was elected to serve as auditor of the state. His undergrad degree is from Oakland University. His law degree is from The Ohio State University. And he's worked in the private sector as a lawyer and had his own law firm. Mr. Faber and his wife and their two children reside up in Northwest Ohio in the great city of Salina. Keith Faber, welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio.
Great to be here.
Last time we had you on, you were running for office. Must have turned out okay.
Yeah, it worked out all right. It was a lot of help from your members around the state and a lot of people in the rural areas of the state.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and we appreciate all the work that you've done for us in the state legislature. And, of course, absolutely, that's how a lot of voters around the state know you from, is the good work that you've done with the rural Ohio and agriculture and businesses all across the state.
Well, we're pleased to have worked with Farm Bureau over the years. You've got a great organization and, frankly, work to make sure Ohio's rural heritage stays intact. But more importantly, that the way of life that many Ohioans have come to rely on for their families and the next generation are held intact.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We appreciate working with you here in your new role.
Mr. Faber, let's talk about that new role for folks who may not follow state government day in and day out. What's the auditor do? What's the function of the office?
Well, I always answer that question in the negative. It's easier to say what we don't do. We don't audit individuals, we don't audit businesses, and we don't collect your taxes. What we do is audit the individuals who spend your tax dollars. We have over 6,000 entities across the state that we audit, everybody from your local library board to your township trustees to your village council to your city, your county, the state agency, every higher education institution that's state paid. All of those are subject to our audit authority.
And in terms of making sure they do what they are supposed to do, besides keeping an eye on what's done, do you do some things to help make sure they are following the rules, that they're following best practices?
Well, Ohio, the auditor is Ohio's chief compliance officer. It's our job to make sure that everybody is following the rules. And while we do the fiscal compliance audits, the audits that go in and make sure their books say what they say, and that the money's spent the way it's supposed to do, we also have two other very large functions. One is the performance audit side, where we go in and make suggestions as to how somebody can operate government better, faster, cheaper. That efficiency, that effectiveness piece is something that we do, frankly, a lot of, from your school districts to your cities, your villages, your counties, and then to the biggest state agencies. And the transportation budget currently being considered, there's a provision to have us do a performance audit of ODOT and ODOT's road building procedures between now and January. That's a pretty tight turnaround for us, but that's the kind of thing we do. The other part is essentially we catch people lying, stealing, and cheating with your government dollars. We have a criminal division, our special investigation unit, our law enforcement division, and we've got men that work for our office, actually some women too, that are gun carrying, handcuff wearing. Well, they're not wearing, they're carrying the handcuffs, I guess that's the better side. Folks that have badges, and we have forensic auditors that go in when somebody reports fraud. And I always tell people, I always get this number out as much as I can. So if you think somebody in government is doing something they're not supposed to with your tax dollars, contact us. 1-866-FRAUD-OH is our hotline. We get over 600 referrals a year. At any given time, we have about 100 active investigations going on. Some of those, turn out not to be anything, and that's a good thing. But some of them turn out to be people who are lying, stealing, and cheating with your government money, and we work to put those people in prison.
Excellent. With all across the state, in the counties, there's our county auditors. And of course, agriculture and farmers and others, they're familiar with their county auditor, somebody they're working with their property taxes and assessments. What's the difference between that county auditor and the state auditor?
Great question. Essentially, the county auditors do the things I just talked about. They do some business audits. They do collect taxes. County auditor is closer to the state treasurer. The state auditor really has no counterpart in county government. We do audit your county auditors, but what we essentially do is we're just the check and balance on government spending and on making sure that everything's done the way it's supposed to do. And so one former county auditor who was running for state treasurer on a campaign trail with me would always say, "What Keith's running for? Well, there's really not anybody who does that. I'm county auditor and I'm running to be treasurer," because that's a lot more like what the county auditor does. We account for the money. We keep the checkbook. We do that stuff in the county. So it's a difference. Other than having the similar name, most of what we do is different. County auditors do have some check and balance on what happens because they've got the checkbook. But in the end, we audit the county auditors.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Keith Faber, auditor of the state of Ohio. Adam Sharp, executive vice president of Ohio Farm Bureau. I want to back up to performance audits, Mr. Faber. I think most of us have a general idea of what a financial audit looks at. You're looking at the numbers, the money in, the money out, making sure it all adds up properly. But when you talk about a performance audit, what's that look like?
Great question. Essentially, a fiscal compliance audit are us looking at the books and records as they exist. And we're looking at the records to make sure that, for example, you have the receipts, you have the policies and procedures in place to follow the generally accepted accounting principles, and that we can represent to Bob and Betty Buckeye that the ledgers, your balance sheets say what they're supposed to say, and what you're saying is accurate. Performance audit's totally different. It's more like a management review where we go in and take a look at what you're doing, tie that to your mission and say, look, you're taking 12 steps to do a three-step process. You're doing things that we think you can do better, faster, cheaper, or maybe some things that really aren't in your mission. You're getting outside your knitting. And so do those kind of things. For example, we did a performance audit of just some very narrow areas at Ohio State. We looked at their copy services. We looked at their shared IT networks. We looked at parking and a few other things. And found roughly $6.5 million in suggested savings every year. And effectively that was a ROI of 20-1. So we saved $20 for every dollar we spent doing that. And so that's what we do in performance audits. And, it's a real big difference. It's more of a management consulting type review. And the fiscal compliance shop, it's required every year, either by the state law, state constitution, or by federal law. And in some cases we can move them to every other year, if it's a particularly small entity and there's just not as much risk.
Adam, Farm Bureau members might take a little comfort that performance audit and the fiscal audits. Our organization goes through that on a regular basis, too.
Absolutely. Many good businesses, right? That should be a part of your common business practices if you want to be a good business, right, is that audit. And that's something that's obviously very important in every group like ourselves, if you will, or every company should go through that kind of process on a pretty annual basis, hopefully. And, of course, the expectation with government would be the same. And actually, as a question I had for you in that regard with the different agencies. And of course, in our space, we're working with the Department of Agriculture quite a bit, or with Ohio EPA, or with Ohio Department of Natural Resources. How often are those agencies audited? And are they audited looking at the numbers? Or are they also in the performance side of things, too? Are you looking at, you know, kind of both sides of that ledger when you're talking audits with the state agencies?
Well, the short answer is on the numbers, they're audited every year. They're part of the state's combined audit, and we also do individual analysis of each department that goes into their own audit. And in that, we're going to look at, are they spending the grant monies like they're supposed to do for federal compliance? Are they spending the state dollars as they've been appropriated? Are they following the state rules and policies and procedures? Are they following open meeting and public records laws? Those kind of things are what they're going to look for in the compliance audit. The performance audit side, I don't know that either. I know EPA has been performance audited. I don't know about ag. I'm sure they might have been. We're required to do at least two state agencies every year, four per biennium for performance audits. We can do as many as we want, but we're required to do that many. And it's on a rotating basis. And we may not look at the whole agency. We may look at a very small piece to see how that's being utilized. And so that's been done regularly, and we will continue to do those. But certainly EPA and Department of Ag are areas that are largely regulatory. Mm-hmm. And so what you're going to look at is on the fiscal compliance side. You're going to look at, are they doing what they're told to do on a regulatory side? Are they spending money as they've been instructed to spend? Or are they spending money for whatever the heck they want? Those are the things you're going to look for. Are their lines being managed well? Are they using the proper authorities and policies and procedures? On the performance audit side, it's going to be a little different. You're going to look at specific programs and say, okay, here's the public policy that's being met by having this program. You're taking 12 steps to do a three-step process. Okay, if you're going to do permitting for EPA, why is it that it's taking you 6 months to do something that, you know, only requires four people to touch? Those are the kind of things you do on performance. You go in and look at their policies and procedures, and you try and apply best practices. It's kind of the same thing businesses and everyday Ohioans are doing. Your farmers are looking and saying, look, if I can just till the ground up one time and don't have to go over it four times, I'm going to save a lot of diesel fuel. And so they're trying to figure out how to be more efficient, and that's really what we do in performance audits.
I appreciate you sharing a little bit of that, because it's a part of government that doesn't get talked about as enough, in that the taxpayers of Ohio don't know that activity goes on as much as it does, and it should give them comfort.
Well, I wish we could do more, and in fact, our budget request, I just gave budget testimony, and what we're doing is asking for some extra resources to be able to do a little more of that. Mm-hmm. And it is, look, government operates much the same way today that it did 50 years ago. The private sector changes every single year or more. And we're trying to get government to operate more like the private sector, understanding that government has a different role. And from that perspective, my goal is to make government more efficient. We've done the same thing in our own office. It used to be we would go into a place to do the audit, and our staff would go through banker's boxes of material, and it would take, you know, forever just to schlep the materials around. Now, everything's paperless. We're going in with a laptop, and most of the work can actually be done in a remote work site location. We don't even have to go to the client after we get the initial data. And so it's really changing the nature of it. We're talking to the big accounting firms around the state to try and partner with them on some data analytics and some artificial intelligence, so that we don't even have to do some of the original number crunching. If we can set the right parameters, some of this can be done so our people can actually do the things that require human touches, not just number crunching. And so the world's changing, and we have to be able to change with it.
We only got about a minute here, so we'll just get this started. But I'm curious, you're only 3 months into the job. Your predecessor probably had some pet projects running. I'm sure you've got some. Just walk us through that transition process of how you take over existing business and start to work your own in.
It works pretty well. Actually, I'm only about 8 weeks on the job. You're giving me another month of experience. Remember, we start in the middle of January.
Well, I'll just delay airing this, and then I'll be right.
Really, Dave Yost was a really good partner in the transition.
Yeah,
I'll give Dave a lot of credit. He ran a good organization. The state auditor's office is ranked in the top five of state auditor's offices in the country. And so it runs pretty well, and we've got a really tip-top staff. And so the first thing we did in transition was hire the right people. And from that perspective, my staff is as good as anybody in state government. And it was really good to work with Dave on the transition.
We're going to follow up with perhaps a little bit more about that. Get a little more personal background, too, on Mr. Faber, and start talking about some of the key issues that the auditor is keeping tabs on behalf of all Ohioans. Our guest in the studio is Ohio's auditor, Keith Faber, along with Adam Sharp of Ohio Farm Bureau. We will be back right after this.
He's the auditor. You won't leave me alone. Thinks I'm a rolling stone. He's the auditor.
How'd you find that? I've never heard this before. Did you do this, or does Jason pick this up? Well, I got to tell you that I probably spend far more time searching for bumper tunes.
There's an auditor rock song. That's awesome.
We're pretty good. We're just getting started.
I've arrived.
We can just skip to the next one. But Keith Faber, clearly a music fan and auditor of the state of Ohio, in the studio with Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Mr. Faber, I did just a quick breeze through of your personal and professional background at the top of the show, but you were a lawmaker, a lawyer. Just walk us through a little bit of your background that led up to this first time to hold a statewide office.
Well, really, serving the legislature was a great, great learning experience. But the most important job I've ever had is dad. You know, I've got a 8th grader, 13-year-old about to turn 14 here in about a month, and an 11-year-old about to be a 12-year-old, 6th grader, in about a month as well. Look, my wife and I aren't perfect parents, but we try to be parents first. And I'm married to my wife is a math professor, and so I always say she's much smarter than I am. Well, how she married me, I don't know. We'll have to have lots of analysis on that. But at end of the day, you know, we live in rural Mercer County, in the township just outside of Salina. Have a little bit of land, and you know, we like spending time outside. We like spending time with our kids, and it's a great experience. And if you look at politics, I always say that somebody needs a well-balanced background if they're going to be in office. And I've always tried to live that. I always made sure before I ever thought about running for office, never thought I would run for public office necessarily. And so practiced in my profession, you know, went to Oakland for undergrad in public administration policy, was originally going to go to med school. Decided it was much more fun being student body president and working as a probation officer and for a judge. And so went to law school and worked for the city of Upper Arlington for a little while, and it was a great experience. Prosecute a little bit, and then had the opportunity to go work for a company in Salina. It's been a great experience. Met my wife there. She was an actuary before she was a math professor. It's been a good experience. And trying to bring that Western Ohio common sense approach is a good way to look at government. And it's worked around Ohio. And as I've traveled this great state, I know you guys do a lot at Farm Bureau on bringing forth all of the attributes of Ohio to the forefront. And this is a beautiful state. It's a great state, whether I'm up in Ashtabula or whether I'm down in Cincinnati or up in Williams County or down along the river in Ironton. It just doesn't matter where you're at. Everywhere is different, but everybody has a claim to exceptionalism. And that's what makes Ohio so great.
One of the things we do in Farm Bureau, Adam, is look for people like Keith Faber. I mean, in our local communities, encouraging people to run for township trustee and then county commissioner and maybe ending up state auditor someday.
That's right. Yeah, that's the part that's always enjoyable when we're all around the state and there's a lot of our Farm Bureau members and members, their neighbors and friends, and they say, hey, you know, they might have a little bit of an interest in something. They may take an interest in the local school board or township trustee or county commissioner and say, maybe I might have an interest in doing that. There's some good ideas I want to bring to that table. And one of the things that often we tell them is why don't you give it a try? There's always that need to bring those new ideas and have that discussion. If you have something to contribute there that's valuable, the people will recognize it. And they'll put you in there.
When we first ran for state rep, too many years ago to count now, one of the first organizations I went to was Farm Bureau. We worked with your local folks. The first person who signed on to my campaign committee was a former Farm Bureau local president. I always went back to them for advice and guidance and just their common sense approach to the world. Now, I come from a largely ag area. You know, number one ag region in the state based on gross production. So it was very important. But them, the chamber, and yep. NFIB are three yep. groups, and I know you all work together.
Yep. Good groups.
That talk about making sure we continue to promote Ohio. And it's about job growth in the economy. You know, I always joke that I represented the number one ag region in the state. And the number two manufacturing region.
Yeah.
And the two are symbiotic. They go together real well. And now as you look at the entire state, look, this is a great state. We've got, Jim Rhodes used to always said, Ohio has more going for it by accident than other states have on purpose. it is very true. And Jim Rhodes used to also say, the best elected office in Ohio may just be the state auditor's office. I agree with him.
Keith Faber is our state auditor. Adam Sharp, Ohio Farm Bureau Executive Vice President. As you go about the job, you shared with us some impressive statistics a few moments ago about how many audits are done and such. That's got to cost money. I know that's one of the things that you're focusing on is trying to hold that cost down.
That's exactly right. Our office is essentially a fee-for-service organization. Almost everything we do is something we charge for, and we're required to charge for it. So when we do an audit of a local government, we charge them for that audit. And we do an audit of state government, we charge for that audit. And so our entire budget comes largely for fee-for-service. There's a few exceptions. Our special investigations, our criminal division, it's real tough to get people when you're arresting them to pay you to do that. And so we fund that through general revenue funds. When somebody's in fiscal watch and fiscal emergency, by the definition, they probably don't have a lot of money, so the state pays for that. And so we do that. So the big issue for us as we do a budget is to make sure we have the resources to do the job in the way that needs to be done.
Well, we're going to talk more with Ohio's State Auditor Keith Faber and Adam Sharp of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. Some of the things that are around us in our daily lives in Ohio that the auditor has touches on somewhat, Medicaid, theft in office we mentioned, the Jobs Ohio program. Those are a few things we're going to talk more about with Keith Faber when we return with more Town Hall Ohio.
Hello, you must be the auditor.
Hello, yes we are.
I'm sure you're here to see the books.
This is an audit. This is an audit.
So do you do that? Do you knock on somebody's door? Yeah. I'm Keith Faber, and this is an audit.
We don't knock. We don't audit Bob and Buddy Buckeye unless you're spending government money. And anybody spending government money knows we're coming. But it's funny. I think we need to get that music and play it on our Muzak around the office.
There you go.
Maybe to motivate our audit staff.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe on the phone.
Yeah, our hold music. Yeah, I like it.
Absolutely.
Like
your press secretary, just so you know, is in the back shaking her head no. So
she'd have to listen to it more than I would probably.
Keith Faber is auditor of the state of Ohio, and Adam Sharp's our executive vice president here at Ohio Farm Bureau. Let's touch on a few things that are always top of mind for Ohioans. They're in the news all the time, and maybe share a little bit about what your office's piece of this is. Medicaid, if I'm not mistaken, it's the single biggest expenditure in state government. What's the auditor's office do to help manage that or to make sure it's run properly?
Medicaid's nearly 50% of the state budget. In theory, the auditor has actual authority to audit anything that spends state money in the state. But Medicaid has parceled the audit of Medicaid-type activities out among various entities. Medicaid does some itself. We do a little bit of provider compliance audits. The Attorney General does the fraud. And then we do Medicaid's policies and procedure stuff as part of the state single audit. The reality is I think we need to have a more active role in Medicaid. There is plenty of opportunity to find waste, fraud, and abuse in Medicaid. It is the largest single thing we do. I just literally left yesterday a meeting of national state auditors, and there were 17 of us that flew into Denver for a day. By the way, auditors are pretty frugal. I know this shocks you, but literally we did a fly into Denver where we all flew in the morning, had our meeting, and all flew home the same night so we didn't have to stay overnight.
That's pretty well done.
Yeah, and so it was a good meeting, and the topic was Medicaid auditing. Frankly, we're going to work with the GAO and nationally to do Medicaid audits and look particularly at Medicaid eligibility auditing. A couple of my colleagues nationally that have done this are finding error rates anywhere between 5% and 7% and 28%, which is a pretty big error rate when it comes to eligibility. If you just had 10% too many people on the program and you're spending $50 billion, think of what that means. You're talking not tens of millions, you're talking hundreds of millions or billions of dollars that we're spending on people that otherwise wouldn't be eligible. And the problem Ohio has is we have 88 counties that all do their own eligibility. And so we're going to work on developing a program to do eligibility audits as part of our state single audit, where we get to look at compliance and implementation. Another thing, for example, that we're required is to bounce those folks against the tax records to make sure that they're reporting as accurate. We need to do compliance audit on that as well. So that's just one example. The provider audits is another area, looking to make sure the providers are delivering services and billing for those services consistently and fairly. If you just have a 2 or 3% overbilling, where instead of using the code for the normal service, they're using the code for a little more difficult service, and those those slip through and aren't caught, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in the state audit. Massachusetts, for example, did a provider audit, and the number that they found in recommended savings was nearly $250 million. Oh, wow. And so we're going to ramp that up. We're working with members of the legislature to get some additional authority with regard to Medicaid auditing. I just think it's absolutely essential that we give, and the auditor's office is the place to do it, give Bob and Betty Buckeye confidence that this program is being administered fairly. The legislature and the governor are going to decide what the policy is and what they're going to do and what services they should get. We just need to make sure those services are being delivered fairly and efficiently.
Keith Faber is our state auditor. Adam Sharp of the Ohio Farm Bureau is in with us. You, one of the things we talked about is kind of keeping an eye on elected officials and making sure that they're not doing anything untoward. How much of that really happens in Ohio? I mean, one story hits the headlines and it's going to tar an entire bunch of people, but how much is what is really taking place?
Well, any of it's too much, and that's the initial starting point. But the reality is it's a very small percentage. There are tens of thousands of Ohioans that interact with government money in one way or another. At any given time, we've got about 100 criminal investigations in our office going on, and not all those investigations yield fruit. And so Dave Yost's number, and I'll just use his numbers, during his 8 years, he talked about 170 people over 8 years, were convicted of felonies with regard to abuse of office or abuse of funds. That's a pretty small percentage number. But again, any one is a big deal. We had one person in a very small community in Ohio that stole $1.1 million. That community, that person got what they deserve. They're in the big house, okay? And that's the kind of stuff that goes on. And if you've got a trustee or a school board member that's taking money, doing something they're not supposed to, and we find out about it, we're merciless. That's what we do. I've got great investigators. I've got some of the best forensic auditors. But let me give you another real local Columbus example. One of my investigators just led the FBI investigation that just put the Columbus Vice officer that just got indicted. Maybe you heard about it. He was basically taking, arresting people and then exchanging that for other things. And he's just been indicted federally. It was one of my investigators that led that investigation as part of the federal public corruption.
We will be back to talk about some more of the timely issues in Ohio government from the auditor's perspective, as Ohio Auditor Keith Faber continues his conversation with all of you and Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of the Ohio Farm Bureau. We'll be back with more in just a few moments. Watching out for taxpayer dollars, that's part of the job that Keith Faber does as our state auditor. He and Adam Sharp of Ohio Farm Bureau joining us today on Town Hall, Ohio. And the auditor's office, Adam, touches a part of rural life that's near and dear to all of us. It's that week to 10 days that we all spend on the fairgrounds every summer, fall.
That's right.
Across Ohio.
A lot of Ohioans know their county fair. They come and they enjoy it for a week and then sometimes don't think about it too much more throughout the rest of the year. But that's another entity that I know the auditor's office has an interaction with. And yeah, Keith, I wanted to see if you could explain a little bit about that interaction that you guys have with county fairs and those entities. And then I got another follow-up question with you on that too.
I think it's 89 or 90 county fairs out there. We have a couple of independents, but they're one of the entities we audit, just like other local governments. And what we're trying to do is figure out how to make those audits more affordable and get them what they need. Because look, they're rightfully saying their government funds as a portion of their funds are relatively small. Most of their money comes from gate receipts and from rentals on the fairgrounds. But most county fairs are on county-owned property. The county still helps and pays some of that, or there's some other relationship. And so it's important that, again, Bob and Betty Buckeye want to know that every dollar, not just most of the dollars, are checked. And that's what we do. We're trying to figure out how to make that more efficient. And one of the things we're looking at doing is having the same team audit county fairs, because they are somewhat specialized.
Yep.
And so you get the same auditors. They'll have efficiency from knowing what they're doing.
That's good. And then related to that, and you started to mention it already, is small entities, these smaller government entities that you audit. It's a service that you provide. So there's a chargeback. And you also know that, sometimes that's, that charge, it's not very big, but on a really small entity, that can cause a little bit of a pain. And I know that the auditor's office is looking at ideas to constantly help with those small entities that get audited to offset that charge.
Yeah, what we did, and we're going to expand on this a little more, but what we have is essentially a couple of classifications of small, low-risk entities and trying to do a flat-rate audit. I think we can do those audits for $500, which is pretty cheap, and try and get those things done. Now, we have a middle class that we do out of the six-year cycle. We can do at least 4 years of agreed-upon procedure audits, which are cheaper. And so we're trying to figure out how to do that. But the big issue here comes down to our budget. And when I took office, the first thing Dave Yost said to me was that you've got a budget problem. We haven't raised the rate for local government audits from $41 an hour since 2011. And if you don't raise it, you're going to have a multi-million dollar hole. And so instead of going in and raising those, we went to the General Assembly and asked them to create a fund called the Local Government Audit Assistance Fund, essentially asking the state to pick up that differential. And so far, the governor has proposed putting money into that fund to do that, and the legislature seems receptive. If you think you don't want us to raise the rate, and we're talking about going from 41 to 54, so it's about 20%, 25% on all your local governments, let's talk to your legislators. Tell them to support Faber's Local Government Audit Fund, and we won't raise that rate. Now, the reality is that we're going to try and make our audits more affordable and make our office staff more efficient. But to put this in context, the average independent accounting firm, when we hire them and we move a number of audits out to professional IPAs, independent auditing firms, they charge between $125 and $150 an hour. So our rates are pretty darn affordable. The federal rate, the federal government comes in and does an assessment and tells us what our rate needs to be, the maximum rate that they think our costs justify for federal reimbursed auditing. And they tell us that's $84 an hour. So we're doing local government audits for 50% of that.
Yeah. Well, that's appreciated out there. And those efforts are appreciated to try to save those dollars, knowing that those smaller groups have to manage through that. And they appreciate those proposals and those discussions. So thank you for walking through that.
Well, look, I represented a lot of small governments, a lot of townships, a lot of villages, and they just don't have the tax capacity. It's important that we try and recognize, as I say this all the time, Bob and Betty Buckeye don't care where the money comes from, whether it's state money or local money or city money or township. They just know it's their money. And they want to make sure every one of those levels of government's operating absolutely as efficiently as they can. And we're trying to do our part to see that happen.
So a big part of state government is Jobs Ohio. And I know I'm going to botch my quick description of this, but basically it's a private entity, but it uses taxpayer monies. And it does much of the economic development work for the state of Ohio. I hope I got that
give you about 75%.
Okay, well, good. I'll take that. In any case, you want to keep a closer tab on Jobs Ohio.
Exactly. Look, Jobs Ohio was created by the legislature. And what happened, it was an entity that was created as a nonprofit. And then the state sold it at a fair market arm's length transaction, the liquor profits for the next 20 years. And so what effectively Jobs Ohio did was gave the state billions of dollars. It went out and borrowed the money, gave the state billions of dollars. And then for the next 20 years, it gets the liquor profits off of our liquor operation. And then it's committed to use those monies for economic development activities. And so that transaction really took the money out of the government money into private money, because it's essentially somebody contracting for those revenues. The problem is the governor appoints the Jobs Ohio Board. And my argument is that makes it a quasi-governmental entity at best, and maybe more than that. And so the auditor's office should have some oversight. And statutorily, the legislature took the Jobs Ohio audit away from us and says we can't go in and do that audit. But it did give us authority to have a conversation with Jobs Ohio and help pick their auditor. And this last year, we actually did more than that. We worked with them to set out the agreed procedures that the audit was done under. Deloitte just finished it. It did it under the things we asked them to do, and the audit came back crystal clean.
We'll be back to wrap up our conversation with State Auditor Keith Faber in just a few moments.
Yet another auditor song. I'm impressed.
Isn't that impressive? People are going to now remember nothing about what you said about how government should run, and they're all going to figure out that you're a big music fan.
They're going to go out and Google auditor music, and it's going to be a whole new genre.
Absolutely.
Music. Auditor music.
Keith Faber is an auditor. He's the state auditor for Ohio, and our guest with Adam Sharp of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. We touched on Jobs Ohio and your views that it needs to be closely looked at, perhaps more so by the auditor's office. Another thing that you spoke about recently, I saw a news clip on it, Keith, is it was during Sunshine Week. You've got some pretty strong beliefs on how much public business needs to remain available to the public.
It's absolutely essential. Look, sunshine's the best disinfectant. It's a good way for Bob and Betty Buckeye to come out and see what's going on in their government. So one of the things we did is we're going to improve in all of our local government audits and our state audit. We're going to include basically their compliance record with government oversight and sunshine laws, public meetings laws, and public records laws. And so we're going to then publish on our website a scorecard of each local government, where they fall. And it's going to be a star system. Because I think you need to know whether your local government's doing everything they can. And so that'll be a big deal. The other thing we're doing is working with President Obhoff to take the public records mediation program that I developed when I was in the legislature and implemented that is resolving public records disputes in a radically successful method by doing mediation instead of lawsuits that are costing tens of thousands of dollars and taking years to resolve. For $25, most of them are getting resolved in 30 days. We want to apply that also to open meetings violations, and those two things will be a huge improvement in the way we deal with public records and sunshine law violations in Ohio.
And having the media have access to that's very valuable. Adam, that's one of the things you get as a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau, our public policy team. That's a big part of what they do is they keep tabs on each and every one of these small occurrences in state government that might mean a big deal to our members.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, when you talk about Farm Bureau, Chamber, NFIB, and a number of these groups is tracking these actions and what's happening out there that might affect you, our members out across the state, and making sure that when there's something there that's pretty darn important, that we lift that up and have discussion about it and talk to those who might be making those adjustments. And that happens a lot more than people think. There's small adjustments out there all the time, and sometimes they can be really, really helpful and meaningful. Other times, maybe not the best idea, but you know, put a little sunshine on them and let's find out.
Yeah. And sometimes it's important that individuals get the information themselves. And that's why we're encouraging governmental entities, particularly local government entities, to put things out on their website, put their minutes, put their agendas out there, so you know whether or not you need to go to this city council meeting. And so I say it's nice to, you know, look, don't always trust the media, don't always trust the internet. Get the information yourself and make your own decisions.
Got just a couple minutes left, so real quick, this is not as yet a big deal, but there's more talk about it. Your thoughts on making Election Day a holiday? Adam has to give me the day off so I can go vote.
Yeah, my initial reaction is I'm not sure that's necessarily a good thing. I'm not sure everybody who gets that holiday off is going to go vote. Now that we have 28 days in Ohio that you can vote early, it's real tough to complain you don't have access to voting. You know, you can vote from the comfort of your own couch by mail, just by asking an absentee ballot be sent to you. And so I'm not sure that we need to make it a special holiday. But look, I've always encouraged employers, including government employers, on Election Day, you know, tell your people, take an extra 10 minutes at lunch and go vote. You know, come in an extra 15 minutes late. As long as you're getting your work done, and it's you know, there are certain places you can't do that. You really can't have the OR nurse take an extra 15 minutes and come in late if the operations are supposed to stay at 8. She can't get there at 8:15. So it depends on the job, but most employees, many circumstances, you can make an accommodation to let people vote during work time or give them flexibility. I think that's all a good thing, but the key thing is just to make sure people are informed. Get that information, be a knowledgeable voter, and look, get your information from multiple sources. Don't vote just because you got a mail piece from somebody that says somebody else is bad. Don't vote one way or another just because the talking heads on TV said this person's good, that person's bad. Get your own information, and I think you'll be much more knowledgeable.
Pretty cool, Adam. We asked the auditor of the state of Ohio to come in and talk to Farm Bureau members, and he does.
Absolutely.
We'll have you back on if that's okay.
Have me back anytime. We're happy to talk to your members. I want to give out the fraud number again, 1-866-FRAUD-OH. 1-866-FRAUD-OH. If you think somebody's doing something in government, particularly state government, that they shouldn't be, give us a call. It's anonymous, and we're there to help.
Heath Faber, Auditor of the State of Ohio. Adam Sharp, Executive Vice President of Ohio Farm Bureau. Thanks, guys. Thanks to all of you for tuning us in, and we'll talk to you next weekend on Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.